Millennials have something that everyone saving for retirement covets. Time. They have time. With 30 to 40 years until retirement, millennials have plenty of time to put money aside and save and save and save so their savings can compound and grow. But with decades to save, they also face decades of investment fees, potentially. 1 or 2% might not seem like much now, but over a long period of time, the financial impact of missing out on that compound growth because of fees can be huge. Joining us now is Steve Bridge. He is a money coach at Money Coaches Canada, and he joins us from North Vancouver. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
Let's go through the gamut. What are the fees that investors pay? I mean, if you're a mutual fund investor, most of it can be encapsulated by the management expense ratio on a fund, but what else should people know?
Sure. Well, to start off with, Bruce, isn't it funny that you even have to ask me that question? Doesn't it seem wrong that every Canadian doesn't know exactly how much they pay in fees?
It seems like a missed opportunity. I know the answer I'm asking for my listeners, just to be clear.
It's a valid question. And it's not your listeners' fault because the industry has fought full disclosure for over 20 years. And this is one of the most important purchases someone will ever make because it dictates the quality and quantity of their retirement years.
Yeah.
Yet we don't know. So, that's my little tangent, Bruce. To answer your questions, there are sometimes fees to buy a mutual fund and sell a mutual fund, but there's always a fee to own a mutual fund.
Right. And the buy and sell are front-end load or deferred sales charges, less common, I think, today than 10 years ago, certainly.
That's right.
What have you noticed about the new CRM2 and how that has affected how people think about fees? This was a regulation that was launched not too long ago, but it is not all-inclusive.
That's correct. And it's come as a surprise to some people. Some people didn't think they paid fees. They've been told they don't pay fees. And it's a little bit misleading. And CRM2 is a step in the right direction. It's fantastic. But it doesn't include everything. As we know, it doesn't include the fund manager or portfolio manager's fee. Again, this has been fought by the industry, which is a little disheartening. But, we'll continue to beat the drum for transparency, right?
Yes, I've been beating the drum for a long time. We'll continue to beat it. We talk about compounding a lot on the upside. Like, ooh, if you, grow over years, your money grows dramatically. Where it is a problem is when you miss out on that growth because of the fees you pay. So I've asked you in advance to give us some calculations here to illustrate how much money people could be leaving on the table. So what we said is we're going to start with $100,000 in principal, annual contributions of $15,000. $1,000 a year, which for some people it's not maxing out. For other people, it seems like a huge amount of money. And start at age 30, end at age 70. So that's the kind of range here. We're assuming an investment rate of return of 5%. If you're in a mutual fund that has the average MER of 2.3%, what's the number on fees?
Okay. So I changed the number a tiny bit to go to 65. So this isn't even the whole gamut to 70. I thought, okay, someone's going to retire at 65, and then go for 20 years after that. So, end at 65, you end up with $1.2 million, Bruce, if you pay 2.3% in which is the average equity mutual fund fee. You end up with $1.2 million, which sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
It does. And then what's the number on the fees that you would have paid in that time?
That would be $458,000
right.
In fees plus opportunity cost, Bruce, which always has to be mentioned.
What do you mean by that?
The money that disappeared in fees didn't have the chance to grow into something bigger. So it's gone. That 2.3% is gone every year. He doesn't get a chance to grow up with his friends.
Right. So on the other end of the spectrum, there are some people who will open up an account at a discount brokerage and do the cheapest do-it-yourself version of a low-cost exchange-traded fund. Let's say that's somewhere around 20 basis points. So a tenth of the cost, one-tenth of the cost. Compare that $400,000 in fees to what that person spends.
60
grand.
$100,000. So you've just saved yourself about $400,000.
Right. So it's dramatic. Now there is a trade-off here. If you are a DIYer and you're doing this entirely yourself, you do miss out on the services of a great financial advisor. And
absolutely,
for the record, there are great, 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 great financial advisors out
absolutely
there who are worth the fees that they pay. What are some things that you don't get when you go entirely DIY?
Well, you're missing out on the comprehensive planning that a good financial advisor will provide with those fees. So comprehensive financial planning might look like tax minimization, retirement planning, cash flow work, CPP, OAS advice, clawback strategies, estate planning, education planning for your kids. So that's what you're missing out on.
There are other models of which you have skin in the game on one of them, given that you're a money coach. Tell us about the money coach model. Are you fee for service or are you percentage based on assets?
No, I'm fee for service. So doesn't matter to me if you have $100,000 in the bank or $20,000 in the bank or $5 million in the bank. I will charge you based on the complexity of your situation and how much help you need.
And what would be the average invoice that you would send out to a client?
It's a range based on complexity, Bruce, but it's in the $3,500 range.
Right. So $3,500, whether they got buckets of money or very little.
Another
model is fee-based, which is some, depending on how much money you have, maybe it's 1%, maybe it's 1.25%. And the robos, what's your take on the robos?
I like them because they're investing in index funds and they don't have any skin in the game, so to speak, with regard to selling you actively managed funds. So
and
I'm a fan.
In that, in those scenarios, what was the fee number for a robo-advisor at around 0.5%?
The fees were about $130,000, so about $320,000 less than the than the mutual fund.
What would you say to people to help them self-assess what model is going to be the best for them? Because certainly not everyone could be or should be a DIYer. Everyone could be or should be someone who pays fee for service. What are the questions you would have people ask themselves to determine what's the best path for them?
Right. So know thyself, right? And it's how much you want to be involved in your investment process yourself. How much do you know? How much time are you willing to put into this? Then fine, that's maybe you're good for a DIYer, but that's a very small percentage of people. Very small.
Steve, we appreciate you making time for us to go over the fee question.
My pleasure, Bruce.
Steve Bridge is a money coach at Money Coaches Canada. He joined us from North Vancouver, British Columbia.